digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Sir, we just found this among Meredith Reed's personal effects. It's a dedicated keycard United Nations issued.
To who?
President Hassan and his family. It accesses their private residence.
We got it.
I want to know where you got it.
Omar gave it to me.
I gave Miss Reed this keycard for reasons I'm sure are clear to you.
Sir, are you confirming a romantic involvement with Meredith Reed?
I trust your complete discretion in this matter.
We have a problem. My brother confessed to the affair. I don't know if the frame's going to hold.
There is no reason to diverge from the plan.
How much longer?
Your brother will be dead before the hour is out.
What are you doing here? I thought I told you to leave me alone.
CTU, senior data analyst. Well, sounds like an important job.
Damn it, what do you want from me?
Place to crash for starters.
You can stay the night. I want you out tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're evacuating immediately due to a possible bomb threat.
Madam President, you and Secretary Kanan need to move now. President Hassan, if you'll follow me.
Yes.
He's in the third car. The motorcade is coming up the ramps now.
Officer, this is going down now. You can either stand here and do nothing, or you can help me stop it.
Oh, you need to stop Hassan's car now.
The assassin is part of the evacuation detail. There is no bomb in the UN.
It's too late. Hassan's car just exited the tunnel.
Oh, you need to stop that car. Hassan's a dead man.
Cole Ortiz speeds wildly to intercept the limo carrying Hassan. Ortiz's car takes the brunt of the blast.
The following takes place between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
A police outrider on foot urgently directs the motorcade.
This is a damn disaster, Brian. What do you mean you don't know what happened?
How is Hassan? Is he all right?
We don't know yet, Madam President. It appears the bomb threat at the UN was a hoax designed to get him out of the building.
It appears?
IED was planted on Hassan's evacuation route.
And you drove him right into it?
One of our agents detected the ambush and tried to head him off just as the bomb exploded.
You better pray he got there in time.
Ortiz, bloody but unbowed, struggles out from the seat of his overturned car. Others have been less lucky. Ortiz draws his gun and organizes the survivors.
Security there now!
He runs to Hassan's car. A security man challenges him.
Stand down! I'm with CTU!
He forces open the wrecked limo door.
Sir, we need to move you to another vehicle now. Sir, you do not want to stay here.
As Ortiz says this, Davros appears stalking towards Hassan, his gun drawn. His line on Hassan is obscured by two vehicles pulling up.
Get him in. Go, 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 go.
Ortiz gets Hassan and his bodyguard safely into a large black SUV. Davros looks on with grim resentment as Ortiz calls out on his phone. Dana takes the call at CTU.
Cole?
Yeah.
Thank God you're okay.
I got lucky. Look, Hassan escaped the blast. He's fine. Heading towards CTU.
He's bound on 48th Street in a black SUV.
Got him. Mr. Hastings, here. Hassan, he's safe.
Dana, the assassin was posing as a part of the security team.
I know, we got the info from Chloe. The police are putting up a three-block cordon now.
Cole, are you there?
I've got the suspect, dressed as a cop, entering a white low-rise north of the UN. Call it in, I'm in pursuit!
Chloe, I need to put out a priority ATV.
No, no!
Ortiz, having spotted Davros behaving suspiciously, now chases after him as he flees away among the crowd. Davros slips through into a deserted courtyard and through the back door of a building. Ortiz follows circumspectly. He runs across and enters the building. Jack sits in the speeding police car driven by the rookie Phil Wu. He gets a message from CTU about Davros.
What is it now?
We've got a lead on the assassin. 4722 East 47th Street. I'm going to need my weapon.
Your back's right behind my seat.
East 47th Street, that's just above the UN. You're gonna need to turn now.
Now, now!
UN-4, come in. UN-4, this is CTU-2. Come in, please.
I'm sorry, I can't reach him.
Try again. That's my husband in that car up there.
I'm not answering.
I have to go to him.
Ma'am, please, need to remain in the car.
Stay calm. Try another number.
Farhad calls Davros, who sidles along with his gun drawn.
Where are you?
Yes, we're safe. Dahlia, Kayla, and myself. I need to know about my brother.
He's alive.
He survived.
Farhad, how is he?
He's alive. God is with us. Can you tell me what happened?
A car in the motorcade swerved in front of him. They're locking down the entire area.
What would you suggest we do?
It's over.
Get out now. It can't be long before they realize it's you.
Farhad hangs up, looking distraught.
Farhad?
Sir, you need to stay in the car.
Sir, I need you to get back in the car.
Farhad seems to comply, but suddenly takes a pen and stabs it into the policeman's neck. Farhad runs off, leaving the policeman collapsing against the car in which sit Hassan's terrified wife and daughter. 7:06, Ortiz rounds a corner in the building, his gun drawn. He carefully walks along a corridor and checks out a small utility room. Looking over his shoulder, he checks a locked door. He moves cautiously back along the corridor, his eyes darting to the right and left. Sadly, however, not behind him.
Get on your knees. Slide your weapon back to me. Slowly. So. Now. You're going to walk me out of here. Call in, say the southwest corner is clear. Tell them to move the search team to the northeast. Do it. You want to leave? Make the call.
Ortiz slowly raises his right hand to his earpiece and presses the button.
This is Cole Ortiz. In the southwest corner of the building, I'm in pursuit of the assassin.
Davros looks on with tense expectation. Ortiz comes to a momentous resolution.
He's with me now.
You okay? You okay?
Yeah, okay.
Ortiz kneels there in shock as his savior, Jack, bustles in to check Davros's now non-existent pulse. Jack rips open Davros' shirt to reveal a tattooed chest.
Son of a bitch.
Ortiz looks on as Jack pulls out his phone to photograph the tattoos. Hassan is driven at speed towards the entrance of CTU, where Hastings waits at the doorway. 7:08.
Mr. President, Brian Hastings, we spoke on the phone. We're glad you're here. Please follow me.
Is my family here?
No, sir. I'll try and get you all together shortly.
Are they all right?
Your wife and daughter are fine.
And my brother? Was he hurt?
No, sir. Mr. President, it appears your brother was involved with the attack.
My brother?
Yes, sir.
That can't be right. Bring him to me. I need to talk to him.
Unfortunately, we don't know where he is at the moment.
Then how can you be sure it was him?
Mr. President, after the explosion, he killed one of my men to facilitate his own escape. There were witnesses, including your wife and daughter. He's the insider we've been looking for. There's no doubt.
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry for interrupting. You asked for any updates about the assassin.
And?
He's dead. Jack just called it in. He uplinks some video footage that you need to see.
I'll be there in a minute.
Don't let me keep you from your job.
Okay, thank you, sir.
No, thank you. I owe you my life.
Conference room.
Mr. Hastings, Meredith Reed, the woman you brought here for questioning. Where is she?
Still here. Looks like she'll be cleared of any wrongdoing.
I'd like to talk to her.
I'll arrange it.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
I saw that.
What?
The way you looked at me when he thanked me for saving his life. You think he should have been thanking you?
I was actually thinking he should thank Jack, then Cole, then maybe me.
Hastings prowls unnervingly around Chloe.
I underestimated you, Chloe. You saw what was really going on. I did not. It was a major save. My report will state that.
7-Eleven. Chloe, looking like the cat who got the cream, goes to sit back down at her workstation.
Chloe said you have some video to show me?
Yes, sir. Take a look. These are images uplinked by Jack Bauer from the bomb site, the assassin who was targeting Hassan.
We have an ID?
Not yet, but I believe we do have a workable lead. These are tattoos off the two men who attempted to take out our informant this afternoon.
Same as the assassin.
We believe they indicate membership in a particular Russian crime syndicate.
What does a Russian gang have against the leader of the Islamic Republic?
I don't know. Could just be hired muscle. But when the photos arrived, I ran them by the FBI. Turns out they had an agent undercover working with the Russian mob here several years ago. A woman.
Contact her.
Already done. I have a helicopter bringing her in now. Chloe, I think you worked with her?
Renee Walker.
Says here she's no longer with the FBI.
It's true. She resigned over an internal dispute.
Meaning she was fired and her record's been sealed. What are we getting into here?
Sir, we are only using her to brief us. These Russian groups are secretive to the point of paranoia. She's the only one who ever got close.
Chloe looks down doubtfully at the photo of Renee lying uppermost on the file. A sinister-looking man watches TV.
President Omar Hassan was not harmed in the attack and has since been taken to a secure location. Confirmed fatalities now stand at 3, including a police officer.
Yes?
Why is my brother still alive?
You're upset, Farhad. Justifiably.
Your man failed.
Once you have the materials in your possession, your brother, his peace corps friends, none of that matters. Isn't that what you told me? All you have to do is stay calm and stick to your plan. Or should I be looking for another buyer?
I'll be there soon.
Good. We'll have a nice meal waiting. And we'll talk.
Farhad leaps out to flag down a cab. The sinister Russian goes back to watching TV. 7:13, end of part one. Part two, 7:17. President Taylor exits a lift and addresses Manners.
I've been informed.
Home is where the heart is.
Books.
That's confirmed, Madam President. Swept the negotiating chamber with sniffer dogs and ground penetrating radar. I can assure you, it's safe.
I'm glad to hear it.
Hassan is standing by at CTU.
How is he, Rob?
Well, he narrowly escaped being blown to pieces by his own brother, so not too well. But your call to him can't just be all sympathy and concern. We need to know where he stands vis-a-vis the talks.
It's hardly the time.
No, it's exactly the time. The signing is scheduled for tomorrow. Dozens of world leaders are already en route to New York. We need to know if we still have a peace process.
Put him on.
Sir?
I have President Taylor for you.
Madam President.
I cannot begin to say how relieved I am that you survived this terrible attack, Omar.
Thank you.
I'm mortified that this outrage happened on U.S. soil.
I'm the one who should be embarrassed. My brother Farhad did this. He betrayed me, and worse, he put you in harm's way. I should have realized what he's up to.
We can only be betrayed by the people we trust. He fooled all of us.
Sir, this is Rob Weiss.
You've heard Farhad escaped. Can I ask you what you think his agenda might be?
Aside from targeting you. What I mean, sir, is, does he have a plan?
Yes, he has a plan. Regime change. Isn't that what you Americans call it?
Mr. President, we're doing everything we can to apprehend Farad. But while he's at large, I'd understand it if you wished not to continue the talks. However, I hope that I can persuade you to reconvene. We have come so far together. And to let this moment slip
would be to hand Farad victory. I will not give him this satisfaction. If you all are ready to continue with his talks, so am I.
I am delighted to hear it.
If you could persuade Mr. Hastings here to release me.
We'll coordinate with CTU so that you can return to the UN as soon as possible. I know that you want to be with your wife and daughter.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President.
7:19, Hassan hangs up and takes a drink of water. Hastings enters the glass-walled office.
You want your office back, Mr. Hastings?
It's fine, sir. Can I ask what you and President Taylor agreed?
That I should return to UN as soon as possible.
We'll make the arrangements.
Before I leave, I would like to thank the young man who saved my life.
That would be Agent Ortiz. He's returning to CTU right now.
Chloe stands looking apprehensive. In the tunnel, a black SUV pulls up. Jack and Ortiz get out. Nearby, a corpse lies on a gurney in a black body bag.
You really should go to medical.
As soon as I hand the body over to forensics, what are you going to do?
Finish my debrief, try and catch that last flight to Los Angeles.
Thanks, Jack. It's been an honor.
Take care of yourself, okay?
I'm glad you're okay.
Thanks, me too.
We ID'd the assassin using your video footage. We think he was working for one of the Russian crime syndicates here.
Any idea which one?
Not yet, but we're bringing in someone to brief us.
Good.
Jack? It's Renee.
What? Why?
6 years ago, she worked undercover with the Russian mob. FBI says she's still one of the best experts they have. Have you spoken to her?
No. I tried phoning her a few times. She never returned my calls. She made it clear she didn't want to speak to me, so I let her go.
I heard she had a rough time.
Yeah.
Like a really rough time, some sort of a breakdown. She should be landing any minute.
Look, she didn't want to talk to me then. She's not going to want to talk to me now, and I want to respect that. So please, don't tell her I'm here, okay?
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been waiting for you to have a debrief one.
7:21. Davros is being autopsied.
Get you a full set of photos as soon as possible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ortiz hands over the paperwork to the pathologist. He sees Hassan coming along the corridor.
Agent Ortiz.
Mr. President.
I want to thank you for saving my life.
Well, you're welcome, sir. But it wasn't just me. If it weren't for Jack Bauer and Chloe O'Brien, I wouldn't have been in place to make the save.
Well, I'll thank them too, but you risked your life for me. You put yourself between me and the bomb. My family and I are in your debt. Yes, sir.
It's a hazardous materials alert.
Hazardous materials?
Please wait here, sir. Dr. Hendricks. What's going on?
The body triggered a hazmat alarm. We're reading radioactive contaminants.
What sort of contaminants?
Rad count's low, so it could be uranium. It's just trace elements. There's no danger. U-235. It's highly enriched uranium.
You mean it's weapons grade?
Yes.
How the hell did he come into contact with that?
I don't know, but he had to have been exposed to it recently.
I think I know the answer.
What is it, sir? So we're talking about nuclear materials. If you know something, you need to tell us.
I need to talk to Mr. Hastings right now.
7:22. Chloe waits on the CTU helipad. A small helicopter dusts down against a backdrop of twinkling New York skyscrapers. Chloe shades her eyes from dust particles as the downdraft rakes her hair. Out from the helicopter gets Renee. Her face seems slightly haggard and her eyes appear haunted by uncomfortable memories. She walks across to where Chloe stands. Renee follows Chloe. She seems slightly dazed by the whole experience. Chloe walks to the entrance and places her palm on the reader. They exchange a look.
Didn't know you were back at CTU.
Yeah, Morris lost his job a year ago. I asked to be reinstated, and this is where they assigned me.
Chloe smiles awkwardly. The lift arrives and the two women get in. Chloe throws a glance at Renee.
So what about you? I heard you've been working for a securities firm.
I was. Didn't work out.
Chloe glances sympathetically over at Renee but says nothing. 7:28.
So it's confirmed and you're certain? Thanks. It's forensics. They confirm the composition of the radioactive material. It's U-235, 94.7% pure weapons-grade uranium. If you have an explanation, sir, I'm eager to hear it.
Before we started this peace initiative, my country was close to developing a nuclear weapon.
Yes, our intelligence was aware of that.
You may also be aware that we could not enrich enough fissile material to arm it. Soon after our countries began to negotiate the peace process, my brother came up to me and said that someone had approached him with weapons-grade uranium.
Who?
Someone who had access to decommissioned Soviet stockpiles.
You think it was the same Russians who were trying to kill you today?
Yes, I do. I told my brother to stay away from them, but obviously he had other plans.
Mr. President, the nuclear material that you were offered, you have any idea where it is?
That man was contaminated recently. Doesn't that mean the materials are here in the U.S.? Farad always used to tell me that our country will always be at the mercy of the West unless we become a nuclear power. We must find the Russians before they can get the uranium to my brother.
We'll do what we have to do, sir.
I'll notify my security forces to cooperate fully.
Hastings watches as Hassan walks out of his office.
Patty, get me the file on Renee Walker's undercover operation.
Stars mean these men were part of the criminal elite, Bor Vizakonye. This one spent time in a Siberian prison camp, IK-10. The number of spires means length of sentence.
3 years?
3 life terms. He must have escaped. Now these, broken cross, here, here, and here, same on all 3.
So what does it mean? Brian Hastings, director of CTU. I appreciate that you came in. So what does it mean?
It means you can break our arms, you can break every bone in our body, we'll never talk. It's supposed to be the symbol for a group called Red Square.
Supposed to be.
We tried to find them and never got close. A lot of rumors. They're ex-military, special forces, intelligence, whatever. I'm not sure they actually exist.
They exist, Miss Walker. And we need to find them.
Why?
You're aware of the attack in Midtown today?
I mean, the smoking crater by the UN? Yeah, it was hard to miss.
Well, we believe it's just the beginning and that the group responsible is in possession of unsecured nuclear materials. Now, Dana asked you here today to brief on background, but I have a much bigger ask. You were undercover for nearly 2 years with a Russian mob. Your cover is still intact.
What are you saying exactly? Are you asking me to go back in?
Dana, Chloe, would you give us a moment, please? I wouldn't be asking if it weren't important, but yes, I want you to go back in.
And this doesn't seem in the least bit, I don't know, ironic to you?
I know that you left the FBI under difficult circumstances.
Difficult doesn't even begin to describe it.
I can get you your badge back.
I laid down my badge, Mr. Hastings. I took it from my pocket and I laid it down. So why would you possibly think that I want it back?
Well, what do you want?
What do I want? Nothing. You have weapons-grade uranium in the hands of the Russian OC. I can do something about that, so I'll go back in. But not for a badge.
Thank you. We brief in 10 minutes.
Hastings leaves Renee alone in the conference room. She takes a seat and looks thoughtfully up at the screen showing the mob tattoos. 7:32, Jack walks through CTU.
Hey. Just wanted to say goodbye.
You're off, finally.
Yeah. How'd Renee's debriefing go?
It was going fine until Hastings kicked me out.
Why'd he kick you out?
It just started to get really uncomfortable.
Is that her undercover file?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get up to speed. They found traces of uranium on the assassin. Hastings says there's nuclear materials in play.
Yeah, I heard. What's that got to do with Renee?
He asked her to go back under with the Russians.
Jack throws a look of concern towards where Renee sits with her back to him.
What is it?
Jack crosses to the conference room. He hesitates for a split second, then opens the door.
Hey.
Jack.
She returns his tiny smile and crosses to embrace him.
Chloe didn't tell me you were here.
I asked her not to. I didn't think you'd want to see me.
Right. You tried to get in touch and I didn't call back. Sorry. So happy to hear that you were okay, though.
Thank you.
I'm surprised that you're back at CTU.
I'm actually not. I'm moving back to Los Angeles with my daughter. I'm supposed to be on a plane with her right now.
What are you doing here?
Old informant knocked on my door. Everything went downhill from there.
The attack in Midtown. That's why I'm here, too.
I heard Hastings wants you to go undercover with the Russians again.
He does. I've agreed.
You really think that's a good idea?
They need me.
I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about you. I know what you did.
Really? Jack, what did I do?
You almost killed Wilson during your interrogation. In fact, it was so bad the FBI had to let you go, even after everything you did that day. Renee, I know where you are, and it's a dark place.
Yeah, and I've come back.
It takes longer than you think.
I wouldn't have signed up for this if I wasn't ready.
And I don't think you are.
He pulls back the sleeve on her right arm to reveal scars on her wrist.
You need to let them take care of it. They will.
I appreciate what you're trying to do, really. You said you were going to Los Angeles to be with your daughter, right?
Please don't do this.
Go to California, Jack. I have a briefing.
Renee walks out, leaving Jack looking pensive. 7:35. Part 3, 7:40. Hastings escorts Reed through the building.
You will receive an official apology for your detention here, but in the meantime, I hope you can accept my sincere personal regrets. I'm sure you understand that given the threat to President Hassan, we were under extreme pressure.
I would have thought that came with the job, along with the ability to handle it. Goodbye, Mr. Hastings.
Ms. Reed.
Reed is allowed into the room where Hassan stands waiting.
Thank God you're all right.
I was lucky.
I heard it was Farad who tried to have you killed. I can't believe he would betray you.
He betrayed both of us, Meredith.
And then I betrayed you.
What are you talking about?
I told them about us. I was scared. I panicked. I hope you can forgive me.
There's nothing to forgive.
But you stood by me. You didn't deny me, even though you had a million reasons to. Before that moment, I never really knew what you felt for me.
You should have. Didn't I make it clear?
What? What is it?
I nearly died today. And I saw how fragile it all is. Not only my life, but everything I've ever worked for. Any good I might be able to do. I just can't jeopardize that.
I understand.
I'm sorry.
Don't be.
Meredith.
As she makes to go, he grabs her arm quite forcefully. They exchange a look. Hassan catches the eye of the security man who watches them through the glass door. The man looks away. Reed and Hassan stand close for a long few moments before he finally lets go of her arm and she walks away. 7:42. Hassan watches with tears in his eyes as she is escorted away along the corridor.
6 years ago, I was undercover with these men. They were running an arms trafficking ring. We broke up the ring and arrested everyone except for the man in charge, Vladimir Leitanin. He's our target. It was through him I first heard about the group Red Square. If anyone can connect us to them, it's him.
Everything I've read about Leitanin says he disappeared without a trace. How are you going to find him?
Through this guy. Zia Dakulov. He's out on parole. He'll take us to Vladimir.
The FBI offered Zia full immunity if he gave up Vladimir. He turned it down and kept his mouth shut and did his time.
I'm not FBI. I'm a former felon, remember? I'll be offering Zia the deal of a lifetime. Trust me, he'll take it. Once I've made contact with Vladimir, I'll tell him that I've heard whispers of nuclear materials on the market. I'll say I have a buyer for them.
Who's that going to be, Agent Ortiz? You up for this?
Yes, sir.
How much money are we talking about?
Nuclear rods. We need to show offshore accounts of 100 million at least, probably twice that.
Okay, I'll get on that. Chloe will work up a backstory to cover the time after your release from prison. Now, you and Agent Ortiz need to figure out where you met, how long you've known each other. Jack, I thought you'd left.
Sorry to interrupt, but could I have the room with Mr. Hastings alone, please?
Dana, Ortiz, and Chloe get up and leave.
You too, Renee.
I think I'll stay.
So what's going on, Jack?
Agent Walker hasn't been undercover for over 6 years. I think you're making a mistake by putting her in.
Why don't you tell him what's really in your mind, Jack?
I'll tell him exactly what I told you. I'm concerned about her and this operation.
So what does that mean?
She's not ready for this. You must have other options.
Mr. Hastings, no one else knows these Russians. No one else can get you as close. Unfortunately, I'm your only choice.
I appreciate your concern, Jack, but she's right. She's our only way in.
Fine, then I want to go with her. I assume your plan is trying to set up a competing buy. I'll act as a buyer.
That won't be necessary. Agent Ortiz has already agreed.
He doesn't have the experience.
Then this is how he gets it.
Not with nuclear weapons on the line. Mr. Hastings, I am officially requesting that you send me in with Agent Walker.
Jack, if you're willing to do this, I'd be foolish to object. We'll work up a cover for you and dovetail it with Agent Walker's alias.
We're going to have to work fast. The Russians are going to want to unload the nuclear fuel rods as quickly as possible.
Jack turns to Renee.
Sorry.
She stands looking very unhappy. The New York skyline shines out. The sinister Russian sits in his restaurant.
Are you sure this information is reliable?
It checks out.
All right, then.
Our hard is here.
Bring him in.
The Russian turns to a young man opposite him.
You look worried.
Every cop in the country is hunting this man. But we let him come here?
So, how does looking like a scared girl help us? This man is our buyer.
We found him. We can find another.
Joseph, my son, we are on the verge of the biggest deal of our lives. Farhad is paying us more than anyone dreamed possible, and you want to send him away because he makes you nervous?
Farhad is escorted into the restaurant. The Russian gets to his feet and crosses to meet him. 7:45.
Sit down, please. A drink first, then some food.
I want to see the rods.
I will be on the same ship that will transport you back to your country, as soon as we have completed our financial arrangements.
There will be papers I have after I have the rods.
They are in a secure place.
Show me.
You've seen the photographs.
That's not good enough. I want proof that the rods exist, or you will not be paid.
You want proof, huh? Okay, come with me.
The Russian leads the way out of the dining room and into the kitchen of the restaurant. The young man follows Farhad and the other man.
Joseph.
The Russian unlocks a door and leads Farhad into what looks like a storeroom. A man sits on a camp bed wrapped in a blanket and sweating with fever.
My younger son, he was transporting the rods. And he was careless. There, you have your proof.
How long will it take to get the rods to the ship?
5 hours.
I want to be there to supervise the loading.
Whatever you want, my friend. Now, where's my money?
I'll make the call.
The man on the camp bed turns his suffering gaze towards the Russian, who stares back dispassionately before closing the door. 7:47, end of part three. Part four, 7:52, Chloe briefs Arlo and others at CTU.
Agent Walker worked undercover as Renee Zidane for 16 months before the bus went down and she was incarcerated. We're focusing on the period of time just after her release when she was supposed to be in Mexico working with Jack. We're synchronizing 2 years of travel materials, mostly to and from Mexico City.
What all do we know about this Zia character that she's visiting?
Not much. He pled out to a class 3 felony 1 month after the bust. He's now in Long Island City working at an auto parts store as a condition to his early release. That's where Jack and Renee are headed now.
Where exactly are they?
En route, just leaving Manhattan.
Good. Chloe, download the cover materials to them, walk them through it, make sure there's no surprises.
Jack, it's Chloe. You should be receiving a consolidated timeline plus detail files for travel and residency. Have they downloaded to your PDA yet?
Yes, we got it, Chloe.
Oh, and Dana would like for me to review the facts with you, if that's okay?
We're fine, Chloe. I know how to prep a cover.
I'm sure you do. It's just that...
Chloe, it's all right. As soon as we got something, we'll get back to you.
Okay, I guess I will leave you then. Good luck.
Thanks. You got a problem?
No, just that you've got everyone treating me like I'm an invalid.
No one's treating you like an invalid. It's standard procedure. They're trying to sync up two cover stories.
He's not going to quiz me on the facts, Jack. He's going to take one look at me and decide if I'm lying.
I know, and whatever happens after that, we need to be ready.
It's hard being with you and you don't think that I'm up to this.
I never said you weren't up to this. I said I was concerned about you. It's different.
Whatever you call it, the fact is you don't trust me. Not really. So here we are. Me and my babysitter.
7:54. Renee looks resentfully out of the window as the car crosses a suspension bridge across the Hudson.
How are we on aerial?
Already in place and they're not even there yet.
Jack and Renee are 2 minutes from Target. They should arrive just before he closes up shop.
Walsh.
Someday you're going to have to tell me how you picked that name.
I can't talk now.
I like your apartment, Jenny. Real homey. And I gotta compliment you on your housekeeping skills. Everything is in its place. And I've been admiring your photos. I hope you don't mind. I've noticed kind of a theme. You and your boyfriend, I'm guessing? Is that right?
Yes.
I hope it's not too serious.
We're getting married, Kevin.
Wow.
Who would have guessed? When I saw you, weren't exactly wearing an engagement ring.
So tell me about him.
Kevin, don't.
Don't what? I'm curious. Can you blame me?
He's just a guy that I met.
A guy you met? What does that mean, a guy you met? I just spent 7 years in prison with some guys. Is that the kind of guy you mean? You know what, I'm beginning to see that we need to talk about this in person.
Look, I told you that I am in the middle of a crisis here. I can't. I don't have time.
Yeah, well, you know what, Jenny? In my experience, when something's important, you make time for it. Don't you think? Jenny, are you there?
Don't call me that.
What?
I said...
You don't tell me what to call you and what not to call you. Do you understand that? I'll call you whatever I want. You don't tell me anything. Jenny! Now get back here.
I said... that I will, as soon as I can.
Yeah, well, it better be soon.
Dana hangs up, her face set in a mask of despair. She walks back out onto the main CTU floor. At her desk, she pulls her earpiece out and lays it on the desk. She walks away like an automaton. Chloe looks up with concern and curiosity as she passes. 7:56, Jack pulls up with Renee across the way from a brightly lit auto parts shop. A man works in the window.
That's him.
It looks like he's closing up. Okay, we'll use these for calm. So I can hear you in case you get into trouble.
Renee crosses towards the shop.
Hey!
This is your last shot. You do not have to do this.
I know, but I want to.
Jack sits darkly in the car. Renee crosses the road towards the shop. She walks calmly up to the door and enters.
They're closed. What'd I say?
Renee.
Tia. Nice outfit. Not a lot of men can pull off a skirt.
When did you get out? Thought you were serving 7 to 10.
They let me out early. Good behavior.
Good behavior? With Warden?
Well, eventually, yeah, but it's like anything else. You gotta work your way up.
The man pulls off his apron.
So, why are you here?
I'm looking for Vladimir. Got a business proposition I know that he'd be interested in.
What kind of business proposition?
Got a buyer? Something big being sold?
Yeah? Well, I don't know. Vlad disappeared.
Maybe. But you can find him.
Really? Why do that?
What do you think?
I don't know.
He'll cut you in. Plus, of course, you're making so much money here that that's of no interest to you. See, your greedy little eyes are saying, show me the money, so what's the problem, Zia?
He pulls back his cuff to reveal a tag.
Pearl bracelet?
They know where I am 24-7. I'm like dog. I leave yard, I get shock.
But just help me out. Make some calls.
Make calls? You know what happened? I make call asking, where's Vladimir? Tomorrow I have accident on way for work. No sensitive information done face-to-face, you know that. You're lucky. You get out. Me? I'm still in prison.
Let me see the bracelet.
No.
Come on.
No.
Let me see it, Zia.
Mm-hmm.
Zia.
What?
Have I ever messed you up, ever? Come on.
She gets close enough to kiss the man and holds out her hand. He resists, but finally gives her his wrist with the bracelet on.
I can get this off, guaranteed.
You screw with this, you know what happened? Cops come running in. In 2 hours, I'm back inside. Parole violation. What?
That's not gonna happen. I'm telling you, I know how to get this off.
How do you know?
Because I'm constantly having to deal with people like you, that's how. I can get it off if I can just hold it steady.
She places his bracelet-bound wrist into a vise and tightens it.
But they say you can't cut the bracelet.
I'm not going to cut the bracelet.
She places a circular saw on his wrist and cuts off his thumb joint. Jack, hearing this over his earpiece, jumps out of the car and runs cautiously towards the shop. Jack enters to find the man lying unconscious on the floor next to his severed thumb. Renee stands calmly by the vise, cleaning up the bracelet.
What have you done? What the hell have you done?
Like you said, he was trapped here.
And you think he's gonna help you now? That's it. This is over. This is over!
Maybe for you, Jack, but I'm just getting started. Find something to cauterize that wound.
Jack stands amazed, looking down at the unconscious Russian with the wounded hand. PM. The end.
Mm-hmm.